This is the American Ag Network Week in Review. In the show today, Rusty Halvorsen gets us caught up on the week's top news.
The White House is gearing up for Christmas. The First Lady is set to receive the official White House Christmas tree on Monday afternoon. That tree is coming from a farm in Pittman, Pennsylvania. Owner Larry Schneider won an annual contest held by the National Christmas Tree Association, earning the honor of gifting a tree from his farm to the White House. President Trump called anti-government protesters in Hong Kong a complicating factor in his bid for a trade deal with China, but didn't say whether he would sign a U.S. bill passed by Congress supporting the protesters in Hong Kong. A senior administration official said Friday that the president had not yet indicated that he had made a final decision on that bill, which would require that the U.S. certify annually that Hong Kong is independent enough from Beijing to retain favored trading status and would sanction people who commit human rights abuses in the city. That Hong Kong bill angered Beijing, where China's foreign ministry summoned the ranking U.S. diplomat in Beijing in a formal protest on Wednesday of this week. Though agriculture is experiencing pressures on a number of fronts, the head of the Farm Credit Administration told federal lawmakers this past week the overall credit system remains in good shape. Glenn R. Smith, chairman and CEO of the FCA, said during a hearing, most farms are holding their own. One major concern for the FCA is that U.S. farmers have taken on an estimated $41 billion in additional farm debt since 2016. Adjusted for inflation, total farm debt is nearing the record set about 40 years ago. Smith said FCA's entire loan portfolio, however, is seeing low levels of credit stress, although there are signs of weakness in the system. Smith told lawmakers that the long-term solution is restoring export markets.
We've received MFP payments, short-term payments, which have helped shore up short-term deficits. It's been welcome. Long-term, though, we need those markets back. We need to depend on those markets. And I know what's immediately in front of us. You asked what Congress can do. We've got some trade issues out there right now. USMCA in front of us, possible bilateral with Japan. I think passage as soon as possible on those two issues would build a strong case and build a good situation for us.
Could you repeat that again?
I would say the two big issues of trade that appears to be in front of agriculture right now is USMCA and a possible bilateral with Japan. And swift passage of those, I believe, would certainly assist us in our negotiations with China. The more allies we can bring into this whole trade negotiation, this global trade negotiations, the stronger our position is. Certainly, I would hope that's a goal of Congress.
Most financial stress is regionalized, he said, and is most prevalent in the dairy and grain sectors. Of the 10 states with the highest levels of distressed loans, according to the FCA, 6 are in the Midwest. The stress in farm country has led some to take their own lives. That was an issue approached by Representative David Scott of Georgia.
Well, FCA and the farm credit system needs to be an empathetic lender. And I think in a lot of cases, that loan officer, that lender is in the front line of recognizing potential problems that could lead to, as you say, the suicides. And of course, we started farming in the early 80s. We had a lot of friends who lost their farms, and we saw firsthand. A farm isn't just a job, okay? Your whole identity is in that piece of land. Yes. And I saw firsthand what that'll do to the psyche of that father or their son or whoever that loses it. I know some of your representatives today have been engaging in potential legislation that would assist in looking at this issue. I know My time's about up, but I know the Farm Credit Council has also contributed to grants to educate mental health providers on the challenges in agriculture.
But do you think that if we established a help line here within the agriculture department and get it disseminated out, that could be a help?
I think anything that could be done would be of help. And anything that FCA is regulator of the system in the way of guidelines to the system, if we could be of assistance, we'd like to be part of that conversation.
Right. Thank you, Chairman Smith.
U.S. inventories of propane dropped about 3.4 million barrels in the week ending November 15th, that according to the Energy Information Administration on Wednesday. Midwest stocks dropped 1.4 million barrels. Temporary emergency shipment of propane from Texas to the Midwest has been approved by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. The pipeline company asking for the action said record demand for propane is due to an unusual coincidence of an increase in heating demand resulting from unseasonably cold weather in the region and also crop drying demand. There were no comments or protests filed on that request. Some farmers have had to stop harvest operations as propane suppliers were unable to meet demands for grain drying. At the end of last week, Iowa Republican Senators Charles Grassley and Joni Ernst wrote a letter to officials asking for the commission to take actions to secure supplies in the Midwest.
That's what I'm hearing from all my farmer constituents right now. They can't get LP gas. So Senator Ernst and I wrote a letter to FERC asking them to do what they did in 2014. They ordered the pipelines to carry LP gas. Now the pipelines are filled either with LP gas for 2 or 3 days and then with butane for 2 or 3 days and home heating LP for another 2 or 3 days, and pretty soon you have 8 or 9 days in a week, and the farmers are leaving their corn in the field because they can't dry it.
October 2019 saw increases in U.S. sales of combines, while both four-wheel drive tractors and two-wheel drive tractor sales fell modestly compared to last year, that according to the latest data from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Kurt Blades, Senior Vice President of Ag Services at the Association, says it was kind of a mixed bag.
Kind of in all categories, we saw some decline month over month that actually began to eat into a little bit of the lead that we were having year over year. So, for example, under 40 horsepower tractors, we're down about 4% month over month from this time last year. But that still has us about 5% above where we were this time last year for those same year-to-date for that same category. On the flip side, you know, we've kind of got some, combines continue to be an interesting market to look at. You know, we had about an 8% growth in October sales of combines. And that's kind of leading to about a 2% growth year-to-date in the sale of combines. So there's a mixed bag. We've got a couple of other categories that have shown some undulation back and forth in the United States market.
There have been some headwinds in the market.
The weather challenges and delayed harvest, and then in some cases, you know, the further north where they're looking at crops that are ruined because of crops that are in the ground that got frosted or snowed on too early. I mean, it's there's some damage out there. On the flip side, there are pockets that are doing quite well, but it's been really difficult for the manufacturers to kind of put a finger on what this future is going to look like, because there are those storm clouds out there that are just, you know, they're just very real, and everybody, your listeners feel it, all the farmers feel it, that with trade uncertainty, with weather uncertainty, with demand uncertainty, with ethanol uncertainty, it's just it's a little bit tough to figure out what this market's going to look like in the next few months and years.
Total U.S. sales of two-wheel drive tractors in October decreasing 3.5%. October U.S. four-wheel drive tractor sales notching down 2.8%.
There's some decisions that are being made at the company level to sort of you know, rationalize that production and maybe scale back some of that production for forecasting purposes. You got to plan ahead, and because there are these headwinds, I think a lot of manufacturers just don't want it. They don't want to get a situation where there's too much inventory out there, because then that creates some issues with the market longer term.
Tyson Foods said on Monday its beef plant in western Kansas that was partially destroyed by a fire in August will resume operations next month. Tyson said efforts to resume harvest operations will begin the first week of December, with plans for that plant to be fully operational by the first week of January. Export sales of U.S. pork totaling 54,400 metric tons for 2019, according to USDA this past week. Exports for U.S. meat products have been mixed. That according to Cattle Facts senior market analyst Kevin Good.
You know, year over year, there are increases for pork and poultry. For beef, we're a little bit disappointed. Two spots there that have been a little bit of disappointment this year. One is into Japan. Finally, we've got an agreement with the Japanese where our tariffs will be comparable to the Australians and the Canadians. And so as we go into 2020, we're optimistic we'll get more market share back. And in particular, the Aussie product, more of it's going into China and less of it into Japan. So we do feel like we'll have some year-over-year gains there. And also this past year, we've been below a year ago going into Hong Kong, and obviously with the trade issues with China, the gray market there has been a little tough to get through. And so with that said, we're optimistic into the greater China area. We'll see some gains as we go into 2020.
Domestic demand for beef has been exceptional, according to Good.
There's no other way to put it. As we look at it, you know, just across the board, we're setting in here, and there's more dollars coming into the beef industry year over year. That dollar amount's going to be about a 3% increase this year compared to last year, and it's a combination of higher retail prices and actually on a per capita basis, just a little bit more beef per capita. So increasing supply, higher prices, more dollars, that's the definition of strong demand. What we see there is, you know, as you think about the U.S. economy, it's, you know, pretty basically full employment. It's wages finally going up faster than the rate of inflation. And so there's more dollars to be spent. And frankly, as we look at the long-term trends, beef has gained market share as we talk about the dollars being spent by the consumer compared to both pork and poultry. So there's a preference there as far as the product. We would say in the beef industry, we've got a better product than we've had 10, 20, 30 years ago. And, you know, the way cattle are grading, choice and prime, compared to where they were 10 or 20 years ago, and more consistent product, I think those are true statements.
Meanwhile, the African swine fever situation in China is having a ripple effect on pork prices.
And the fact that Australia is sending the vast majority of their product into China right now in the front door, and because of that, prices have skyrocketed in Australia. Their trim, 90% trim, is the product that they typically would be sending to the U.S. Well, that product laid into the U.S. is about 30 to 40 cents a pound higher than our domestic product, so therefore that product's heading somewhere else globally and not into the U.S., which is supporting our trim prices substantially above a year ago levels and actually supported the whole cutout. So, you know, it's one of those things you might not think of. It's as we think about going into 2020, we're fairly optimistic. We know that we'll get a lot of pork product into the Chinese market. They've already bought a lot of product and shipping a lot of product. We just came to an agreement on poultry. We should get quite a bit of poultry product into China. You know, on the beef side, one way or the other, front door, back door, or just filling other voids around the globe, we're optimistic that we'll see beef exports increase next year as well.
Soaring wholesale meat prices in China said to be threatening a crisis in the nation's food retail sector, that according to media reports.
In China in particular, you know, all three proteins, beef, pork, and poultry, prices have escalated. And as they do that, we're just going to draw more product of all three species into the Chinese market, which opens up other opportunities for the U.S.
That's what's happening in agriculture. I'm Rusty Halverson.
This has been the American Ag Network Week in Review. I'm Sabrina Hill. For Rusty Halverson and myself, thanks for listening. Join us again next week.